8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast, whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
I'm Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm in upstate New York, where we work with artists that work with the radio waves. And recently, two of the Wave Farm Radio Artist Fellows, Karen Werner and Jess Speer, have been collecting all sorts of radio artworks that we're gathering here in the Radio Art Hour to feature with other works and backed by the Conant Project's Number Station recordings, which you hear behind us now. Today we are going to test your patience as a listener on the Radio Art Hour as we hear a 2008 work from radio artist Knut Offerman called Lee de Forest Night Loops. And when it was broadcast during the 2008 AV Festival in Newcastle in England on Soundscape FM, it was on for two nights until the local community radio station feared alienating listeners and they turned it off in favor of their usual Europop programming. We'll see if you can make it through the Lee de Forest Night Loops track from radio artist Knut Offerman or the Display Wounds from radio artist Gregory Whitehead, as we will also hear his Woundscape later in this week's edition of the Radio Art Hour.
Got 6-0, got 0, 6-7-0, 2-8, 6-7-0, 2-8, 6-0-9-8, 4-6-0-9-8-4, 6-1-8-7-2, 6-1-8-7-2, 9-5-9-8.
I'm Jess Speer for the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive. I'm pleased to introduce Knut Offerman's The Lee de Forest Night Loops, a condensed version of a 9-night feedback installation broadcast as part of the 2008 AV Festival in Newcastle, UK. As part of the festival, Offerman helped set up two temporary radio stations and offered to create an installation whose live sounds would fill the airwaves during tricky overnight programming hours. Inspired by the inventor of the vacuum tube, Lee de Forest, the installation involved feedback between audio and radio equipment. The installation ran overnight for 9 nights, but Offerman later condensed the recordings into a shorter piece for the Radia Network, which we will hear now.
Hello, this is a show from Radia. Your group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across all of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
What you are hearing is the condensed output of a sound installation that was feeding two radio stations for 9 consecutive nights, namely Resonance FM at the Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art and Soundscape FM in Sunderland. It was part of the award-winning AV Festival in Newcastle. A third local community radio station also broadcast it, but it replaced it with Eurodance after 2 nights for fears of alienating their listeners. I wonder what kind of reaction it induces in you. This show is a mobile radio production by Knut Aufermann for the Radia Network. All sounds you heard were recordings of an on-air sound installation that combined audio and radio feedback.
Transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.
That was the Lee DeForest Night Loops by radio and sound artist Knut Aufermann. For more information on the artist and the piece you heard here, visit the Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
Here is Gregory Whitehead's 1985 radio artwork, Display Wounds.
Nasty cut. Okay, let's see. Give me the number 7 probe. That's something I have to get underneath the bone there. Yeah, okay. A clamp.
Display wounds.
See, the skin is, well, it's kind of wrapped around the muscle there, huh?
Written, performed, and produced by Gregory Whitehead.
A sponge. And I'll need a little piece of that tape there. It is not a pretty cut. Oh. I'll get it. The scissors. See if we can clean it up here around the edges. Okay. I'm losing a lot of blood. Could you? Yeah, that's right. Just hook it up. Thank you. Problem is this bone back here that refuses to cooperate with us. Yeah. And, okay, now, let's see if we can get under that. Oh, it's coming. Close it up and no one will ever tell the difference. Speaks for itself. The only thing which you will find emerging spontaneously from a wound, is blood. If you're interested in the deeper significance, then wounds have to be read, they have to be interpreted and deciphered. Vulnerology, or the science of wounds, is the activity of this interpretation. What you saw earlier was simply stopping the bleeding, and stopping the bleeding has really nothing to do with treating the wound. Treating the wound is an interpretive process, attempting to understand and decipher what the wound is. We are a society that prides itself on the invention of new, faster, more powerful, more dynamic technological innovations. We do not want to have to grapple with the fact that every technological innovation carries with it a contribution to what I call the woundscape. People frequently comment that I have a way of speaking that is unusually slow. Well, this is not simply a way to avoid wounding my larynx. It's a way of making a personal contribution towards the deceleration of a highly lethal woundscape founded on speed. It's interesting that you introduce the comparison to language, because my approach as a vulnerologist is to think of the wound as a sign between the individual body and the technological landscape. The wound is an inscription that's left on the surface of the flesh by possible to think of a specific technology in separation from the damage that it can do. And in this sense, I think of a whole handwriting, it's a handwriting that is based on the potential within that culture to hurt itself. There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems of interpretation that one confronts in deciphering this peculiar kind of handwriting, and that's because wounds will always play the fool. Wounds are compulsive liars. The way the wound appears on the surface is rarely an accurate identification of the full dimensions of the wound. Stopping the bleeding has really nothing to do with treating the wound. Treating the wound is an interpretive process. I don't feel that the wound has really been treated until it has been given a voice, until it has been empowered to speak. No wound ever speaks for itself. the goal of the vulnerological interpretive activity, then, is to construct a voice for the wound. The first thing that we do is we make an abstraction of the wound. We try to construct a representation through fiber optics and fractal geometry. We construct the image of the wound. What we discovered is that most wounds, biomechanically, have a strong resemblance to the human larynx. So the next step was to find ways to get the wounds to speak. This next series are multiple blunt trauma wounds suffered by a female subject during a train collision and subsequent derailment. You can see from this first projection that the surface of the body is pretty much untouched. It's simply impossible to conceive of this degree of internal wound prior to a certain stage of technological development. And I think this series demonstrates pretty well the connection between technological environment and the woundscape. It's hard to know where to begin descriptively with blunt trauma. The wounds are so massive and widespread. But in this projection, you can see that almost all of the organs have been displaced. And there's generalized occlusion. Of analyzing this particular sequence that we began to understand the complexity of the language of contemporary wounds. The voice appears to center around the abscess in the lower left corner of the shot there. This is a magnification. From rather different perspective underneath. Obviously, if you're analyzing a wound resulting from a collision of bullet trains or a crash of a supersonic jet or a automobile collision, the literal meaning of the wound frequently cannot be translated. The practice of the vulnerologist is oriented more towards getting the feel of the wound, sensing its emotion, sensing its quality, getting the feel of the wound, sensing its emotion, sensing the deeper nature of its experience, sensing the implications for the kinds of wounds that can be expected. The danger is that the woundscape will produce a society of monsters. Thank you. This is a projected simulation of a head wound taken from our historical archives. It was originally suffered by a German foot soldier on the first day of the Battle of Verdun during the First World War. A battle which incidentally played a critical role in the formation of the contemporary woundscape. In this magnified fractal tomograph, you can see the thoroughly dispersed indusium grisium. That foggy mass in the lower right would seem to indicate that the subject suffered a retrograde conduction avalanche deep inside the hypothalamus. If you follow the residual wound tract through the crushed tween brain ganglia, you can see what we think is the wound's voice. It's interesting that you introduce the comparison to language, because in Western tradition there's a very deep relationship between word and wound. If you think, for example, of the five wounds on the body of Christ, well, theologically, each one of those wounds represents an authentic verification in blood of the essential humanity of Christ. Each wound is an opening into the Word of God. And the body of Christ on the cross is then a living materialization of Scripture. The theater of wounds is a memory theater. Somehow the vocabulary of the spirit and the vocabulary of the flesh intersect in this image. This last series illustrates a third category of wounds. Wounds that are visible not physiologically, but genetically. This is the chromosomal structure of an infant born to parents who suffered prolonged exposure to radioactive waste. With the assistance of a computer, what we've done is simulate five successive generations in the language of this wound. Thank you. It's impossible to think of a specific technology in separation from the damage that it can do. And in this sense, I think of a whole handwriting, it's a handwriting that is based on the potential within that culture to hurt itself. Interpretation that one confronts in deciphering this peculiar kind of handwriting. Wounds do not speak a language which is readily accessible. The wound is an inscription that's left on the surface of the flesh by this other body, which is a technological body. Treating the wound is an interpretive process, attempting to understand and decipher what the wound is, staring into the dark hole of the wound, the abyss of the wound, looking backwards, obsessively fixated on the wound, which gave blood. Well, working as a vulnerologist carries the same kind of stigma as a mortician. Wounds, after all, represent dead subjective experience, dead experience which most people would prefer to suppress or forget. Wounds are the physical repositories for the memory of experience that most people would prefer to suppress or forget. The experience of receiving a wound is a shock, and the connection between shock and amnesia is pretty well known. There's simply a massive individual and cultural resistance to recognizing the significance of wounds. The theater of wounds is a memory theater, which most people would prefer to suppress or forget. So why do we do it? That's a difficult question. Wounds cannot speak for themselves. And yet wounds are the evidence of stories that are of profound importance. If they are neglected, ignored, simply stitched up and forgotten, then we will get to the point where we can't look at ourselves. The wounds become deeper, less apparent, more structural, if you will, even genetic. Wounds that become apparent only in the second or third generation. The theater of wounds is a memory theater. Our failure to look at wounds now and interpret them now may lead us to give birth to a society of monsters.
It is not a pretty cut. Oh. I'll get it. The scissors. See if we can clean it up here around the edges. Okay. I'm losing a lot of blood. Yeah, that's right. Just hook it up. Thank you. And, okay, now, let's see if we can get under that. Oh, it's coming. I have to get all that stuff out of there. Close it up and no one will ever tell the difference.
Display Wounds, written, performed, and produced by Gregory Whitehead.
Wounds are lost individually. They're ignored, they're suppressed, they're forgotten. They scab over and they're gone. My hope is that I can join them together in a chorus. And perhaps that chorus will be heard.
That was the 1985 work Display Wounds by radio artist Gregory Whitehead. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.